Okay, our speaker this evening is Tricia Zorn-Hudson. She has had an extensive career. It's amazing. She started as an educator with her degree in elementary and special education from the University of Nebraska. Then she went on to receive her master's in school administration from IUPUI here in Indianapolis, and then on to receive her Juris Doctorate from IU School of Law. She is associated with numerous organizations and has received many awards. I read through her resume today, and I was just overwhelmed. And one of them is she is a recipient of Kappa Delta Women of Achievement Award in 2005. What you probably recognize her name for is the Paralympics. And I think most people will associate her name with that, and rightly so. She is the most decorated Paralympian in history. She was inducted into the Paralympic Hall of Fame in 2012. And she was appointed by President Bush to the presidential delegation for the Beijing Olympics. So that's enough from me. So I want to give you Tricia Zorn-Hudson.
Can you put it on?
That's as nice as it gets.
That's good. I think they can hear me. Okay. All right. Thank you, Barbara. Good evening. thank you. First, I would like to thank Barbara for reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to speak with you tonight. Anytime I have a chance to speak and inspire individuals makes it make a better version of themselves, I embrace that challenge head on. For years, after I was diagnosed at a young age with my eye condition, which is aniridia, which is the lack of the iris or the color part of the eye, I asked God to heal me and fix me. But I came to realize I was praying for the wrong thing because I was not sick and I wasn't broken. That was simply my perception of disability. As soon as I changed my perception of disability, I was able to unleash my potential. If you aren't perceiving your life in a positive, fulfilling, and inspiring light, change your mindset. You can't always change your circumstances, but you can change your attitude and perception. How did I get to change my mindset? I chose to be mindful, and I adopted the three C's of life, and those include choice, chances, and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. This quote I live by exemplifies how I was motivated and driven to a successful career in swimming and in my professional career. Regarding choices, my mom at a young age had a choice to either put me in an institution. Yes, you heard institution, because that is what my doctors told my mom, that I would not amount to anything and I would not be a productive individual or that I would matter to anybody in life there or even be successful. However, if you knew my mom made a choice to mainstream me into society when mainstreaming was not even on the radar at that time. Or for that matter, in education. Sitting there, I was enrolled in a regular classroom environment and then pulled out to attend special education classes that focused on typewriting skills and learning how to read and write Braille. And typewriting skills at that time was the old style you know, typewriters. It wasn't computers. So just wanted to be transparent with that. So other choices I had to make included my swimming choice, such as which team I wanted to swim on. And at that time, I am originally from California, and so I chose to be swimming on a team called Mission Viejo, which at that time was a swim team that only thrived for success, and it was a group of coaches that really dedicated their lives to those individuals who chose to be a part of that team and wanted to succeed. So I chose to do that. I had to choose, after swimming in high school and graduating, I had to choose to take scholarship opportunities. I was very fortunate to be able to be the first blind or visually impaired athlete for a Division I school to be granted a full ride scholarship in swimming to the University of Nebraska. During that time, I had to choose whether I wanted to stay close to home or go to another state and get out of my comfort zone. And at that time, I chose to, and people are like, well, you're from California and you chose Nebraska. What were you thinking when it comes to weather? But I wanted to go somewhere where it snowed, but I guess I didn't know how much it snowed in Nebraska. but I did, and it was a wonderful experience. It really was. After graduating with my undergraduate degree in education, I had to choose like many young adults had to, what I wanted to do right after school. So I decided at the time to go and pursue my master's degree in education and school administration, and also I had to decide where I wanted to go. And at that time, I was still swimming, and so I decided to come here to Indiana, and that is how I started. Through the Indiana University postgraduate program for school administration. Also, my coach from college had known a gentleman and a coach here in Indianapolis, and I decided that I wanted to continue my swimming career, and so therefore that was another factor why I came here to Indiana to pursue my swimming as well after my undergraduate degree. And then after that, I had to decide whether I wanted to go ahead and start my career in teaching or go ahead and which I had always been fascinated with, is the law. And I decided at that time to go ahead and teach. And so I took a position in the Indianapolis Public Schools, and I taught for 10 years, which was a wonderful experience. And I'm sure my parents were very grateful, since, you know, they didn't have to pay for my education due to my scholarship. But at least I was doing something worthwhile and dedicating myself to try and inspire young kids coming up into the school system. Then I decided that I'd make a choice in order to go to law school. I had postponed it in order to start teaching. And finally, an opportunity came up where I had a choice to make to go to law school. At that time, here at Indiana University School of Law, they didn't have those individuals. They didn't have any individuals that had a physical disability. So I was the first one to have a visual impairment, and at the time they were saying that, oh, are you sure you want to do this? You know, it's good. There's a lot of reading to do, like we have trouble reading, or you can't have somebody read for you, or there's these things called audiobooks. And so it was an education on both parts. Education for me, obviously, to be able to go through those different studies and graduate with the degree. But also, it was a choice that the administration through the law school had to do as well. and they actually made a choice, and they took a risk. And they were, at that time, they were a little leery, but at the end, they came to me, and they said that they were glad because they now have over 50 students who are blind or visually impaired in their have gone through their program. So then after that, I decided that I got a job here at the Indiana Pro Bono Commission, and working with different attorneys and different judges in town. And then, obviously, when the administration in 2008, funding kind of went down, and so I had to find another position. And somebody had said, oh, you should get a government position. I'm like, I don't want to work for the government. I don't know. You know, it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. But I was fortunate to be able to get a job with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and it has just been my dream job, because I'm doing so many different things with veterans, helping them, teaching them, and inspiring them, and they inspire me, and to do my job every day. And which in hindsight prepared me to become my own advocate, because my own advocate at such a young age created the foundation of who I am and who I am today. When I speak about chances, I had to take many chances, or should I say leaps of faith. One of the first chances I had to make was to leave the security of my home to attend the University of Nebraska for a full athletic scholarship. After 4 years, I had to make another leap of faith and decided to pursue my master's, as I stated earlier. In my opinion, though, that one of the biggest chances we all take is that of getting out of our own comfort zone. I made sure of this when raising my two stepdaughters, and especially the youngest one. Sorry. Especially the youngest one, who does have a visual impairment. I made sure she became her own advocate. Early on, when she had her own IEPs, her own IEP meetings with her teachers at school who she had to meet with, I made sure that she was the one that spoke at all her meetings. I wanted her to be prepared for the, quote, real world, to be independent and self-sufficient. However, you know, and how the saying always goes, be careful for what you wish for. Well, I got it, and then some. Now she's grown up to be a very smart, witty, outgoing young adult living and working in Washington, D.C., and now all I can do is sit back and listen and worry as a parent. Then there are changes. Life is all about changes. Every day is a change with accepting and adapting to life. For me, changes include technology. All of us who are sitting in this room right now who are visually impaired rely and anticipate changes that come with newly innovated technology for the blind or visually impaired. For me personally, I have experienced medical change. In 2004, a doctor here in Indianapolis, Dr. Francis Price, was conducting an FDA study on artificial iris implants. I contacted his office, and I had asked if I would be a candidate for his FDA study. As curious as I was, and also scared at the same time, this change opened a whole new world of opportunities and freedom for me. Since having the surgery, I am now able to be a bioptic driver, which allowed me to feel more independent and less reliant on others. Finally, I would like to leave you with this one thought. Destiny is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. It is not a thing to be waited for. It is a thing to be achieved. Thank you for having me here tonight, and I hope by sharing my story and with you, it will change your mindset and inspire you to go forward and embrace choices, chances, and changes within your daily life. Thank you.
I know that many of you are going to have some questions, and because, Trish has had a lot of experience in her life, but I think for me, one of the things that I want to hear a little bit more about is your experience as an Olympian, and also being on the presidential delegation for Beijing.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, tell us a little bit about that experience.
The experience that I had when you're contacted by Secret Service is quite the ordeal. I think they knew everything about me and my, family and my friends and everything before they even actually gave me the opportunity and the go to say, okay, this is what you are able to do. But it was truly an honor to be, asked. By your peers and also, by the President of the United States to be on his delegation in order to represent not just me, but people who are blind and visually impaired or who have other physical disabilities, and to be on a platform that can affect and other people in other countries. And be able to be on a panel to experience that and share experiences among your culture, among your disability. Because I think we all get in, a pigeonhole. We kind of get in our everyday lives and we forget about it. But really, like for me, when I first became involved with the Paralympics, I had no idea what being around other people with disability, physical disabilities was all about. It was all new to me. And again, it was, my mom had always told me, she's like, well, I don't want you to use that as a crutch. And I'm like, well, if I don't take a chance and I don't find out what it's all about, then how will I always have that what if? I mean, it led me to so many different things. It led me to probably the most important thing to me is my family and my husband, my mother-in-law. So.
You're doing okay.
So it leads you to. I've been very blessed. I've been very blessed and fortunate that to be able to be a part of that. And the Paralympics is a great organization. It's provided me with opportunity to meet people all across this world, giving me the opportunity to travel, and to inspire people. Most of all.
What Olympics? Which
one? My first Paralympics games was in 1980 in Arnhem, Holland, and then there 1984 was in New York, and 1988 was in Seoul, Korea, and 1992 was in Barcelona. And 1996 was in Atlanta, and 2000 was in Sydney, and 2004 was in Athens, Greece, and at that time, I was pretty much done. I was like, that was my last games, and I retired, so.
So I want you to tell them how many medals you have, and I know that might be difficult for you.
Over the 7 Paralympic Games that I was able to participate in, I was able to acquire 55 total Paralympic medals, 41 gold, 9 silver, and 5 bronze.
Michael Phelps
will
take that, right?
Yes. He's actually a friend, so it's kind of hard to do that.
A couple more questions. I had to push her to talk about her paralympic. I have
to take the mic, too, then. We only have one
more. Yeah, go ahead.
I saw your hand up first.
Thanks. So, Teresa, right? Trisha. Sorry, my bad. So, Trisha, so you said you lost your sight. You kept praying to God for God to heal you. What made you come to the realization that this is not what God wanted? Like,
I think that actually...
Hey, hang on.
Oh,
we have
some part
here.
I think actually when it came, I think everybody has their own faith and how they believe, but I believe that God had another reason for me to be born with a physical disability, and how I used that throughout how I weave that disability throughout my life, and how I can touch and inspire people. So, at a young age, I don't think you realize that. I think when kids are young, you know, you get the negative side of it. So it's, I can't say that I never used to say, you know, why me, because that would not be fair or accurate. But the more I grew up and I realized, you know, why I was born with this condition and how I was able to do it, as I say, it's been a gift. It's like getting Christmas every day. Because I can open up a gift, and my being with lack of sight is a gift to me.
Wow. That is impressive.
I see you, Annie.
Just a couple more.
I'm glad you were close.
Okay. Trisha, I'm curious about, I know you mentioned that you traveled all these different countries. I'm curious as to how were you received and how did you handle any adverse reactions you may have gotten from other people?
I actually, like I said, had an opportunity to travel a lot of different places, and every place was unique, and it had its own uniqueness about it. I say that, unfortunately, when you're talking about the Paralympic Games here in the United States, it's not a household name. People, unfortunately, don't know about the Paralympics. It's becoming that way, but unfortunately, it's not there yet where we'd like it to be. But, however, going and traveling overseas, their Paralympic athletes are recognized just like athletes over here, like our NFL players, NBA players. So when other countries accept the Paralympics, and such as they have a lot of media, so if they see, for example, for me, when I was there in certain countries, they would actually, you know, look at you or welcome you with like rock star sort of, you know, conditions, because they know who their competition for their countrymen or women are, and they always pretty much prep them before, because their media is huge compared to here. It's getting better, but it's not where the level anywhere where like the Europeans are, or even like over in Australia and the Asian countries. So.
Last question. I see your hand up there. Well, I don't know her name, so I can't say her name. I'm coming. There you go.
Okay, so my question is, regarding reading, you mentioned challenges regarding reading, particularly in law school with all the reading that was required. So how did you go about doing all that reading with your condition?
To answer your question, it's a very good question. First of all, for law school, again, they didn't really have any adaptations just because, you know, it wasn't something that they typically had with somebody with a visual impairment going through law school. But what I was able to do was you had a study group, and they would either read, you know, what we were talking about or whatever class it was in, we would read different or brief different cases together, and they would read it. And then when they do a more of a Socratic way of teaching at the law school, whereas they'll just pick a person and they'll then go over a case with you. And so I would always ask in advance the professor, I would always ask, you know, would you be able to let me know when I would be called on so I could have my notes in that particular case put in large print, which I'm able to read at like 20, 22 point. So I would be able to read that particular case and discuss it. So it was making adaptations for me, which I think everybody in here knows what that is, you know, one adaptation, you know, for one person may be different for another. So it's just about making the adaptation and accessibility for me. So that's kind of how I went around the whole, you know, reading. It took me a little longer, but, you know, you do what you got to do and in order to get your final end result, so.
Thank you. If you could stay for a moment, enjoy your apple pie. Okay. All right. Very quickly. Okay. We have a busy, busy night, and we want to keep our energies high. Maybe we should all get up and do some jumping jacks. We want to get this auction started. So, but we have some awards first. So, very quickly. I have two awards coming from the Indiana side of the border, so we're going to get those done first. And I'm going to ask our presenters to come forward, and we're going to make our presentations quick and short, but so that we can move on quickly to get to our auction. But do I have my presenters for our two awards? Okay, can we come forward? Are they up here? Oh, okay. Okay, and okay, here we go. One coming behind me here. Okay, so we're gonna.
Thank you. All right, this is Deanna Austin, and I have the privilege of speaking about our award winner for Indiana's Hank Hofstetter Award. And our award winner this year is Dr. Deborah McConaughey. And yes, the Dr. Deborah McConaughey. Dr. McConaughey completed her undergraduate degree at Indiana University in the 70s, and she wasn't quite sure what she wanted to do. She did have grandmothers who had vision loss, and an optometrist had suggested that she pursue working in low vision. And she completed working in optometry and in low vision, and she completed her degree in optometry at IU in 1984, and then she did internships at the VA and also went out to California, and she was also there in the Los Angeles area. After some years, she returned to Indiana University on the staff at the School of Optometry, and she's recently retired from IU with over 30 years of working there at the IU School of Optometry and Low Vision. She's treated patients at the VA hospital, at the Rehab Hospital of Indiana, and she continues working with veterans at the VA hospital. And she works with the low vision and also the area of neuro, which is serving, at this point, with her retirement, she's specifically serving veterans with traumatic brain injuries, strokes, and other neurological conditions from either from injuries or things that they have suffered in the war. Dr. McConaughey was recently named the Optometrist Educator of the Year by the Optometric Association. And she has, as part of her work at the university, she's provided training in low vision to ophthalmologists and optometrists for many years. So many in Indiana, if you probably mention her name to eye doctors, they are most likely going to know who she is. She also continues to stay on the cutting edge of low vision by attending a meeting in California annually. And this is a group of individuals working with the blind or visually impaired who get to spend time together keeping up on the latest technologies and talking about best practices. Dr. McConaughey's married. She has a daughter and a grandson, and she enjoys traveling and travels abroad, Europe, Japan, and she also has had foreign exchange students. So it's really hard to determine how many individuals Dr. McConaughey has touched because she has trained so many of the doctors in Indiana, and she has also worked with many patients. And so we are very pleased to have her come up here and accept the award for the Hank Hofstetter Award for ACB of Indiana. So come on up. And Dr. McConaughey and I happened to work together, so this worked out very nice, because I've had the privilege, I work at the VA, and I've had the privilege of having her as the one other low vision or blind rehabilitation individual in the building, so it's wonderful to have her there when she's there. So the American Council of the Blind of Indiana presents the Dr. Hank Hofstetter Award to Deborah McConaughey. Deborah, although a sighted person, has given selflessly of ideas, effort, tact, and enthusiasm in a persistent endeavor to enhance the quality of life of the blind everywhere. So congratulations.
I just want to thank all of you. It's people like Deanna who work with the blind, people like Tricia who inspire countless hundreds of people with what they do, and those of you who are in the trenches, plodding along every day, not thinking you're making a difference, but yes, you do. There are people that notice, and it is worth every day that you do that. Thank you.
For some of you who might not be aware, Dr. Hofstetter was the first dean of the School of Optometry at Indiana University in the mid-50s from Ohio State. And when we were looking for a treasure in the mid-70s, someone recommended him as treasure for ACB of Indiana. Even though he was the dean of School of Optometry at IU and traveled worldwide, he still had time to come to every meeting that we had in Indianapolis every 3 months. And when you think about a gentleman who was a dean of a school having time to spend with us, you can see how he was dedicated to serving individuals who were blind and visually impaired. The next award is a Patricia Price Award. And Patricia Price was a member of our organization for many years and was secretary at the national level for 6 years. She has since passed away, but we have an award that is named in her honor. And it's my privileged to share a few things about this person. It's been a pleasure to have known this lady for at least 25 years. She grew up in a state west of here. She went to school 1 year here in college and then decided that she wanted to go back west. After getting that undergraduate degree, she decided to go to Western Michigan and receive a rehab teaching degree. After she was out of school, she worked a while and then but finally wound up in Indianapolis with a job and worked for Family Services for a few years, then joined Bosma Enterprises, and now is with the VA administration. Guess who this person might be? Deanna Austin. Didn't know this, did you?
I did not.
The American Council of Blind of Indiana presents the Patricia L. Price Award to Deanna Austin for the efforts and enthusiasm in the persistence endeavor to enhance the quality of life of blind and visually impaired, November 3, 2018.
Thank you.
There's the microphone back, Barbara.
All right, thank you. Okay. Actually, we're moving on now to the eastern side of the border. So, Jill, I will hand this off to you, and you can take the podium.
All right. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Boy, those are some nice awards. Lori, can you make your way up to the podium?
Yeah.
Lori is our awards chair, and she is going to handle her awards and her committee and everything. So we will. Lori, you here? All right. She's here. Here you go. And you can, do you want me to put it in the stand?
This don't matter.
Okay. You can hold it.
My chair is open.
Well, hey, y'all. Hey, I got to tell y'all something. We took Grandpa to Denny's the other day, and you know, the coffee was cold, the eggs was runny, the toast was burnt, and the bacon was ugh. Well, we started to leave, and he goes up to the cashier and says, "My compliments to the photographer." Anyway, hey, you guys, I like to have fun. I think y'all know that by now. But anyway, we have some wonderful, wonderful awards tonight to give out. And I'm telling you what, it gets hard trying to decide who gets what. And I have a wonderful committee of Annie Davis, Melody Banks, and Tanya Adams. And these girls have worked their hineys off, you know, trying to keep me in line. But
I don't think anybody can do that,
Lord. Yeah, just ask Kenny. But anyway, the first award, the three different awards we're going to give out tonight. The first one is the Ken Morlock Award, and that is given to a blind or visually impaired person who has worked tirelessly for the blind community in the state of Ohio. And on that note, I will let Mrs. Ann Davis, talk about that one.
At least you got my last name right.
Her, you know, it's really ADD because she's Annie Donnellan Davis, you know. And she sings like a bird. Here you go, sweetie.
All right.
You want me to hold that for you, or are you going to hold it? Or?
Well, hold on just a minute. I'll get myself prepared here. She keeps us all entertained. At any rate, I could not be more proud to present this year's 2018 Ken Warlock Award to a friend and colleague that I have known for just about 2 years, maybe two plus years. In fact, it was quite by accident that we met on Facebook, and little did I know at that time that we would soon be working for the same company. So he came to Red Roof in 2016 during the winter, bringing a wealth of knowledge and experience in business, customer service, technology, and life in general. In fact, he was the one I would typically go to, and my coworkers and I would go to when we had phones about this brand new system that was being implemented by the time we were both promoted to higher positions, and perhaps it was no coincidence that we were promoted at the same time. And he is currently a travel agent and a compassionate individual and relentless advocate for the blind and visually impaired, and I'm sure that whatever path he chooses, he will make positive change and continue to push for change within the blind community so that we can be on board with our sighted peers. So, I am very thrilled this evening to present the Ken Warlock Award to Mr. Wesley Derby. Council of the Blind of Ohio.
Okay.
The American Council of the Blind of Ohio Ken Warlock Award for Outstanding Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired Community, presented to Wesley Derby, November 3rd, 2018. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you like to say something, sir?
I will, sure. Why not?
Okay.
There you go. There's a microphone. Mm-hmm. Well, hello there, everybody. I am... this rarely happens, especially being a DJ on the side. I'm almost speechless on this one. I would like to thank the council. This comes as a complete and total surprise. I thought I was coming for a totally different reason. During the course of some phone calls, things changed a little, so I got really confused. And I'd like to apologize to any of those I may have seemed a little impatient with early in the week. Now I feel like a real turd. I'm thrilled. I'm going to shut up here in a minute, but I would like to thank Annie and the rest of the council for this. I'm a little bummed. My wife and bonus daughter had to step out to get food elsewhere due to their food allergies. Things didn't quite work out, so they're missing this. But hopefully it's being streamed live or something, and we can let them know about it later. And wow, I'm speechless. Thank you guys so much. I don't deserve it, but I will try to live up to it.
Yes, you do.
Oh my God, Annie, you are the bomb. You got me good, girl. You got me good.
I told you I wasn't gonna let you down.
Oh my God. Oh, there was no letdown.
I was like, everything's going to be fine. Everything will be okay.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, we do it right. Well, our next award, and I can never remember this whole award's name, so Melody will get the honor to read it. And I don't read Braille either. Okay, never mind. This is for the outstanding person in education, which education, you know, that means a teacher. So I will let Miss Melody Banks do the honors. Here you go, sweetie.
Okay. All right. The award I'm giving is the Arlene Cohen, Art of Teaching Award. It is given to a blind or sighted teacher of the blind or visually impaired students. Okay, and that's in the state of Ohio. I'm going to try to read this without messing it up. Okay, I'm reading the letter that was given for to the committee regarding the award. And it says, Dear Awards Committee, I have the pleasure of working with this teacher for a time, from the time I was in the first grade all the way through high school. Over the 20 years, this teacher has given time and limitless skills to students of all ages who are blind and visually impaired, serving as a Braille instructor as well as an orientation and mobility specialist. On a personal note, when I was in the third grade, this teacher assistant was fairly new to the Braille code, and she was trying to... And she said she was learning from the teacher, would often help her out with Braille and assignments I needed to stay caught up in my classes. One such task she took on was my daily oral language assignments, in which a student had to learn to properly write a sentence with correct spelling and grammar. In this learning process, this teacher took the liberty to write the sentences as they would have been written to provide me with an example of how they should look. These services also was a perfect study guide for weekly quizzes. While I was in high school, she would come during my study halls, and at that time I was struggling with math in one of her stronger suits. The first thing she would ask is if it had math. Oh, if I had math homework, she would ask me if I had math homework, which I would need assistance in, and never refused others. Okay, these are just a few examples of this teacher's selfless gratitude, whether one is learning to read or write Braille, prepare for proficiency tests, or negotiate a school or neighborhood, she was patient, kind. She was patient, kind, and treated each student with diligence and respect. Thank you for considering. Okay, Joyce Sprite for the 2008 Cohen Owen Award. I got some that I can handle. The American Council. That's why I kept messing up. The American Council of the Blind. Of the Blind of Ohio, Arlene Cohen Art of Teaching Award honors 25 years plus of contributing beyond measure to the lives of hundreds of children with visual disabilities. Presented to Joyce Sprite, November 3rd, 2018. There you go. Want to say a few words?
I will. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I wanted to thank the ACB of Ohio. I am very honored to be able to receive this award, and especially to Annie, who nominated me. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I learned as much from my students as my students learned from me, and it was all of them that helped me to become the teacher that I did, and I enjoyed every minute of it. So thank you so much. I want to thank my son, who is here tonight as well, and I know my family did make a few sacrifices as I sat at home writing IEPs and preparing lessons and writing reports. I spent a lot of time at home working for the job, so I thank the sacrifice that they made as well. So thank you again.
Hey, guess what, y'all? She got a check, and she can stay for the auction, right? Anyway, y'all just love me, don't you? Anyway, the next award we have tonight is pretty awesome, if I say so myself. But anyway, Miss Tanya Adams is going to come and present the Employer of the Year, who has made a blind or visually impaired person's time a lot more accessible and easier because they care. Tanya? Oh, Terry.
true.
Okay. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. She come up from behind me.
Well, somebody's got to keep you on your toes once in a while. All right. Well, the Employer of the Year Award is going to the company that was nominated by my husband, actually, who he worked for up until we moved a few months ago. They really went out of their way to make accommodations, made sure all of his screen readers were up to date, that they did even the little things, like if they noticed he was always bumping into a trash can or something, that they moved it, you know, little stuff like that. So the American Council of the Blind of Ohio Employer of the Year Award, which is for employing blind or visually impaired individuals and for making appropriate accommodations in the workplace, is presented to Longview Steel in Mansfield. And from the company, we have here Mr. David Jaco, who's, as Brent calls him, the boss. And I think he deserves a special extra award for putting up with Brent for 18 years. Well, yeah, but David's got 4 years on me. He's been putting up with him 4 more years than I have. So here you go. Here's your award.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm humbled, and I appreciate this. Brent is actually the one that took care of us, and he did an excellent job for us, and really sorry to see him go. But thank you all, and as I say, I'm humbled.
Oh, bless your heart. Here you go.
Now, all right, y'all, I couldn't leave you just hanging there. So, how many blind people does it take to screw in a light bulb? You're right, none. We don't need them. Thank you very much.